Hey guys, welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur. Today we have an amazing guest for you. We're going to be talking about building your business online. You don't want to miss this episode, so stay tuned.
Coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur, a podcast created to help entrepreneurs build their business. Branding, marketing, analytics, positioning, and lead generation, plus interviews with other business owners to learn from their successes and failures. Now, here is your host, Abel Garza.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Creative Entrepreneur. Today we have an amazing guest for you. We're going to be talking about building your business online. She's an amazing guest. We're going to get some great insight from her on how we can build our business online. She has developed courses, she's a writer, and she just released a new book. Please help me welcome Case Lane. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on today. It's great to be here.
Awesome. I'm really excited to have you on the show today because we get to talk about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, a lot of people are trying to figure out how they can start their business online. I mean, many people have ideas and how they can create their business, and many people have ideas but just don't know how to bring that into fruition. Why don't you start out by giving me a little bit of information as to who you are, what you do, and how you help your customers?
Sure. So my business is called Ready Entrepreneur, and I'm right at the very beginning of the process. I am somebody who sort of came up, did everything that you were supposed to do around going to college and getting a professional career and all of that. And then I made the pivot to online business because I was just so interested in everything that was going on. I started as a writer. And when I started ebook self-publishing, I got into this entire world around websites and landing pages and all the social media stuff. But one thing I noticed is I didn't know what to do. You know, I would see a cool webinar. I thought, oh, that sounds good. And I would follow that. Or I would see a cool video on YouTube. Okay, I'll follow that. And I was kind of just bouncing around at all these different things. It didn't have a very clear process for how I wanted to build the business. From the point that I was a writer, people started asking me, how was I doing other stuff online? So that's what I started thinking about, you know, Ready Entrepreneur. But then I realized that I was just sort of grasping at different things. And what's missing in the process is the very beginning. There's no big picture to help aspiring entrepreneurs see the entire online business landscape and then make a decision about how they want to move forward. So that's where I come in. I'm at the very, very beginning of the process, helping people understand, you know, what is online business? How are people really making money online? What are all these things that people are doing? And how do I know if I want to be a blogger or a podcaster or I want to be on camera or whatever? So I go through all of that and help people figure out. I start with your business idea. You know, if you have ideas in your head already, if you just have no idea, but you want to be an entrepreneur, work through your platform, like which online platform do you like, which community are you trying to target? And then of course, creating content, which is the biggest piece of it. You have to be able to create good content.
So, you know, you're talking about, I guess, shooting an arrow versus a shotgun, because obviously, you know, a lot of people, they'll bounce left and right, you know, looking for their way to get into this, whatever market they're going into. And I totally understand that. I mean, just trying to bring your idea into light online, it's a huge task in itself. Mm-hmm. What is the first step? I have an idea. What is the first step that I need to do?
Okay. So if you already have your idea, then you want to look at where are you most comfortable presenting your idea. So I think a lot of people get afraid. They think, oh, I see all the gurus are on YouTube and I don't really want to be on camera. But I always say to people, basically, there are tens of millions of people everywhere. People still read blogs. They listen to podcasts. They watch videos. So you pick the platform where you're most comfortable because otherwise it's not sustainable. If you're just following what you think everybody's doing and what you think is like the cool thing to do, and then you hate it, you're probably not going to do it consistently. And consistency is the name of the game here. So I go through, you know, really let's figure out. And if you really don't know, if you say, I'm not sure, then it's like, okay, where do you spend your time? Do you actually read blogs? Do you actually listen to podcasts? Go with the place then where you spend your time. Yeah. And then the idea is to figure out, you figure out your platform so that you know when you're creating content, what you're creating content for. So let's say you settle on blogging, then you know you're going to be writing blogs, you're going to be writing, you're going to be bringing together information for people and so on, if that's your business. So that's the process, starting with the content, the platform, so that you know what kind of content to create. And then after platform, we focus on community. Because the real value in being in an online business is today is your niche. It's figuring out what your niche is. Who is that community out there that wants or needs what you have to offer? And you're going, so before you can create content again, you have to know who you're creating it for. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need to know what platform you're on and who you're creating content for. And so we focus in on that. And I really try and get people to niche it down. I know people are afraid. They're like, well, I want to do it for everybody. You know, yeah. But everybody doesn't work, especially not anymore. And now online, you really want to differentiate yourself. And mm-hmm. the nicher it is, you know, the yeah. better, because there's a market out there that's not being served. They don't have anybody. And so if that's, you know, that's who you target, yeah. you're actually presenting yourself a great opportunity. And I always say, try and make yourself the automatic leader in that niche that has nothing right now, or it only yeah. is forced to sort of take a version of what it really wants.
That's exactly correct. I mean, what is it that you do to, I mean, do you do market research? How do you figure out what niche you want to go into? Is it something that you put on advertising mm-hmm. And then you just blast it and see what is successful? How do you niche down?
Oh, yeah. No, it's very incremental. So it technically, I guess, would be called market research, but don't think of like sort of the big, you know, big market research firm coming in or something like mm-hmm. that. What I like, there's a couple of things. It depends on whether or not people have time or money. Mm-hmm. So that's usually what it comes down to. If you have more time, then you can build your following organically. Mm-hmm. So you could start on social media, and depending on, you know, where you start from, if you're, a lot of people who are entrepreneurs with good ideas have friends and family on social media, but those aren't the people who are their eventual clients or their eventual community and for their product or their service. So you have to start finding the groups, the Facebook groups or the forums or the places where you can start to add value mm-hmm. and bring those people to you. So you set up an online presence, you put somewhere where people can contact you, but you add your value, answering questions and things like that in groups and forums. So that's the way if you're going down the organic route. Now, if you have some money to spend and you want to, then we can do marketing. And the marketing would be, but we still keep it very small and incremental in the beginning. The first part is creating a profile of what people call the customer avatar, which is your target client, your target customer. And then you write advertising to that profile, because you want to get inside their heads and draw them out towards you. Mm-hmm. And you can create ads, whether it's Facebook or Google or wherever you want to run ads. And now some people, well, I can't run ads. You know, I don't know what copywriting is or anything like that, which is yeah. fine, because there's also many ways to outsource that work. But you still have to do the work up front of figuring out who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And then you can start running ads. And you can run ads for as little, you know, $2 a day. The process I like really is to run one ad, see if you could start to move that number. And if it looks good, if the click-through rate is around, you know, 2-5%, and your conversion rate, I'll talk about that in a second, is, you know, around 25-30%, you've got something going here, you can put more money behind it. And what you're doing, so the conversion rate on the other end is you're sending people to usually a landing page or a website. And you're offering, in the beginning, I'm talking again about information products or something like that, where you're offering something, an incentive for people to sign up with you. So you're building your community through advertising. You run an ad that's interesting to people. You send them to a place where they can fill in their email address. Now you've got their email address, and you can start building a relationship with them, usually through a continuous series of emails that eventually leads to the product or the service that you're selling. Hmm. So, and then you just continue over time to change your ads, to create more ads, to advertise in different places and so on. And you start building up that community.
That's interesting. And so when you're targeting these people, these potential customers, and you're, I guess, evolving with your information, how do you approach that? Do you just send out, you know, is email better, or would you send out text messages? I mean, we get inundated with so much information on a regular basis. How do you differentiate yourself from all of the other people and all of the other businesses out there trying to obtain your business?
Yeah, that's why the focus right at the beginning is on your niche. It's on your content, because you're going to have to it's all going to be dependent on what you're basically, what product or service you tend to deliver. And you have to believe that message more than anyone else in the world. Yeah, you're the best person to sell it. So you have to be firmly grounded in why you think you have something valuable for people. And it could be anything, you know, it's not just information products. It could be physical products, you know, something like that. But it has to be what I always go back to the beginning of why you wanted to be an entrepreneur. We started with the premise that you had a business idea. Okay, so where did you get that business idea? What gap did you see in the market that makes you think that that's, you know, a problem that needs to be solved? Yeah. I go back there. And if you've got a story, that's number one, because we need stories. So what is the story that drove you to discover that there was a gap that you had a solution for? That's the story you're going to be telling people. And as you send out your emails, I mean, there's all sorts of different ways to do it, email sequences, things like that. You want to be building in people's minds that idea that you have seen this problem that they have also seen, but you've taken the next step and you've figured out a way to solve it. Mm-hmm. And you make it valuable to them to solve it. And what's it, you know, this is a big issue around writing and copywriting and so on. Mm-hmm. And you could always outsource this. It's expensive, but I suggest, especially in the beginning, doing it yourself in the sense of telling your real story in a way that's your authentic voice. Mm-hmm. That's because, again, as you're niching down, people are looking for a unique perspective that resonates with them. Mm-hmm. So you have your story, you tell it in your voice in a series of emails that really hit people like, yes, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is what I've been thinking about. This is what I wish somebody would invent. And now it's here. And so you lead them down that path. After a couple of, you deliver value every time. You can continue to provide some free process. You can provide like a free PDF about your something. You could provide maybe 10 minutes of coaching or whatever it is. Yeah. Like, let's say you could be doing nutrition. You could be doing fitness. You could be doing all sorts of different things. You really want to think about that. It's part of your content. It's figuring out, obviously, what are you offering people? You know, what is that product or service you're offering? But what goes with it? You know, what else could you offer along with it so that you're leading people down this path to the point where they get to your main product and it's, you don't even have to sell it at that point.
Absolutely.
They're completely in to your story and you've taken them exactly where they had wanted to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's very clever. I mean, definitely need to understand your value and be able to provide that value to the customer or potential customer. And so the internet is so vast. I mean, you can market the whole world, basically, with the exception of North Korea, probably. But
oh, I think they probably found a way.
But, you know, do you niche down and then, like, go local? Do you go global? You go just the United States? Or what is it that you would, you as an online entrepreneur start out with? Would you just say, okay, I guess it all depends on what you're providing, but I mean, let's just say, for example, I want to provide a service, and you know, services, you could do it, you know, nationally if you contracted that stuff out. But as you know, starting out, what would you recommend? Would you just say that maybe I should niche down and then just advertise nationally or locally?
Yeah, you said it a second ago. It really does depend because. In my case, for example, I'm global because this issue of how to get started online is a global issue and people all over the world want this information. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking with someone who is looking at bike tours. Well, that's a bike tour is something that's offered locally. In this case, you know, nobody's traveling right now. That's the reason for it. So you think about it, everybody's having to adjust and come up with new ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So think about this one. Okay, people want to get out. One of the few things you're allowed to do is go out and have recreational activities. So what about bike tours that go off the beaten path, you know, different places people don't know about, that kind of thing. So that becomes a very local business. And the content that's offered is the history or the geography behind the route of the bike tour. And then the actual product is coming on this tour and being led on this particular path. So it really does depend. So you have to look at, or you could take something, you could do, you could even have a global idea, but you only want to offer it locally because let's say you're in a rural area or, you know, someplace that doesn't have a lot of I mean, everybody's got the internet, but maybe not a lot of outside speakers or people who they'll pay attention or this type of thing. So mm-hmm. you say, or you want to offer it to the local youth of your community. Maybe you want to get the youth involved in entrepreneurship. So you mm-hmm. want to do something like that. So it really depends on how you want to position yourself. And you could feel that your niche is that your community is not, does not understand this particular opportunity, which is a global thing, but you really know your community well, and you'd like to be able to deliver to this community to get this community onto mm-hmm. the next level of entrepreneurship or whatever the Absolutely. Issue is.
So, I mean, I've got my idea. I've done my market research. I've figured out how I'm going to niche down. I've established my presence on groups and I've done my research. I figured out, okay, more people want this type of service or this type of product. And I've already established where I want to target, what area. At what point do you figure out where your competition is in comparison to yours? Mm-hmm. I mean, how important is it to understand your competition?
I always say there's no competition because again, you're approaching your niche from a unique perspective and you have your approach. So nobody is looking at it the way you're looking at it. Mm. Now, there's a global market of, let's say it's entrepreneurship. Of course, there's this massive number of people who are in the entrepreneurship space. But is everybody who is forced to use them, let's say if I'm interested in entrepreneurship and I go and I look, I'm not a rah-rah person. That's by a deep scientific term for people who go online and yell and scream and all that kind of stuff. I don't like that. So if I go online and everybody talking about entrepreneurship is like that, I'm like, well, these are the only people talking about it. So if I want any information, I have to listen to these people. But if somebody more serious comes along, I'm jumping to them. Mm-hmm. So there is this idea that it's all been done, but it hasn't all been done. People, a good example is dieting, right? So mm-hmm. There's a new diet every day. Now, you can't say that there's no other diets out there. But what happens is all the people in the world who want their perfect body just jump on the next diet and it doesn't work for them. So they're waiting for the next one to come along and the next one. So until everybody in the world has their perfect body, we're eating the foods that they really love, and then there's no end to the market for dieting. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing with every other possible topic that's out there, every product, every service, because there's some group of people, you see them, they're with the other people, they're with your rivals, so to speak, but they're only there because they don't see what they really want. And so when you start putting your feelers out in the marketplace, whether that's organically or through advertising, where you present your perspective and, hey, are you looking for a serious alternative or something like that? And you actually get people clicking on you, you'll know that you're pulling those people away from where they don't want to be. And you can assess what everybody's doing in the marketplace to see what's missing. I mean, for me, it was, there's no preparation. There's no beginning to the online business world. I don't see it anywhere. Everybody just starts with their thing. And then their thing might not be what you want to do. So that's where I pulled back and said, I'm going to start at the beginning. So you could take a look, obviously, at what everybody's doing. And let's say you haven't settled on your business idea and you think, okay, I'm really interested in this. And when I did this person's course, I really didn't like that or whatever. And you could figure out what's missing and then put your feelers out there into the marketplace and see who's with you. And then you'll be able to build the business from there.
I think the reason why I ask about competition, because it's a good indication of where you stand and where you need to be. And it also gives you an opportunity to look at what is missing in the marketplace, like you mentioned earlier. So not only are you looking at them, but you're also looking at the possibilities of what could be, impeding your ability to get to a certain destination. So for example, let's just say, I'm just gonna throw it out there, carpet cleaners. Okay, so what's your competition for carpet cleaners? Well, any vacuum cleaner out there is gonna be a competition. Why? Because they can do exactly the same thing that you're doing. You just gotta figure out how you're gonna differentiate yourself from the competition. Mm-hmm. So now that you've figured out, okay, well, my carpet cleaning gets deep down dirt, whereas this person or this company does not, that differentiates yourself. Now, how they're charging, let's just say they charge $500 for a vacuum cleaner, you're charging $100 per room, you know? And so now you're figuring out how you fall into this whole carpet cleaning business, and then figuring out how many people or how many companies are within the within proximity to you, and understanding how they're pricing their business, how they're how much money they're making, whether or not the industry or the competition is making money. Maybe they're losing money, so that now you understand there's a trend and there's a dissension in the marketplace. And now you're gonna, you know, it's easier to swim with the current than it is against the current. So if you understand where the market is going, now you can actually say, okay, well, it's ascending. The market is going in the right direction. Let me get in on this and let me swim upstream, or I should say downstream, and then swim with the current. So I guess that's why I bring it up, because not only are you assessing the marketplace, the direction of the market, but you're also understanding their limitations, their strengths. Okay, so what is the strength that this company has right now, and how can I differentiate myself so that I can be even better? And so understanding your competition, I think, is a huge value in understanding where your position can be and how you're going to approach it, because maybe they own 90% of the market. How are you going to get in on that market if they already own that? You know, are you going to separate yourself in such a way that is going to get those clients that are already in that market and come to you? You know, how are you going to do that? So I think understanding that is a huge component to where you're going to, how you're going to position yourself. Do you want to respond to that?
No, I would just say that I think it's absolutely, you're right about knowing what everybody's up to. I do agree with that. You could also look at, though, making people a better offer. And this is, you know, ClickFunnels language. If you know what ClickFunnels is, they have a whole, you know, training around this. But it is this idea that if you're in a commodity style business, so there's, you know, 101 carpet cleaners, as you say, what's a better offer that you can make to people? What do people need along with their carpet cleaning? Mm-hmm. And so you make that better offer, that's how you can differentiate yourself as well.
I agree with that partly, only because I'm a photographer, and there's, as you can see from my shirt. So you can see that there are countless photographers, and anybody with a camera can claim to be a photographer nowadays. So what is my competition? The iPhone, Samsung, Android phones, anybody who has a phone in their hand is my competition. Now, how do I differentiate myself from other photographers? That's how I would differentiate, where I'd look at what market I'm going to go into and how, whether or not it's ascending or descending. But also how I would price myself is highly determined as to how, or what value I would provide is highly determined on how the market is going. So let's just say you have, you know, certain photographers that offer a certain value at a certain caliber, I guess you could say, with the type of photography that they're offering. So if you have a majority of competitors that are offering a price where you find that you're either at par or above par in your quality, then you can charge that much money. You may be able to even charge more, depending on on the, you know, the rapport that you have with your customers, the email list that you have. It just depends. But I guess what I'm trying to say is the way you would provide that value, I think, is highly determined on what other photographers are currently offering, and how you price yourself is highly dependent on how, the quality of work that you have and the other photographers and what they're charging. Would you say?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but basically what I've seen, at least in my experience, is that people are not getting what they want. Like when I take a look at, online, people are searching. They're searching on Google, they're searching on Facebook, they're searching on Amazon. So there's a lot of unmet needs out there, even if it's just for 2 minutes of entertainment, right? So that means that despite the fact that there is a, you know, industries and businesses and all these people doing whatever they're doing, so many people are still not getting what they want or they need. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for what are people asking for? You can go into Google keyword search and see exactly what people are typing into Google. And you can see trends that way of how, you know, if they're typing in, I want a portrait photo, you know, something like that. You could see what the trends are and you can see where what people are thinking by the way that they're requesting. You know, they're basically throwing it all out there. Like the entire world is throwing out everything that they want. And it's up to you as, you know, the business person, the entrepreneur to figure out, okay, what's missing? Why is this request so high? Like why are 1,000 people or 10,000 people a month or whatever looking for this thing, which is apparently, you know, a business with lots of competition and so on. So there's something missing. There's always something missing.
Yeah.
And as an online entrepreneur, if you're looking for an opportunity, you want to zero in on that. So that's why, you know, when you go into forums and groups, what are people asking for? What are they saying? If they're constantly saying they're looking for this or looking for that, that's your opportunity.
Absolutely.
And it means that they're just underserved completely.
Yeah. Looking for the pain in the market is a huge value to your business. And I always tell people that a good way to find that pain in the market is when somebody says, man, I wish. I think the, and I'm going to trademark that. So I call it the man I wish because somebody's like, man, I wish there was an easy way for me to find a ride without having to wait for a cab, or man, I wish I could just rent out my room and then get paid for it. So the whole man, I wish, anything that follows that is usually going to be a pain in the market. And so when you look at that, kind of listen to other, maybe customers who are in your niche and who you're providing services to. If anybody says, man, I wish, that's a huge indicator there. Like, man, I wish there was a photographer who did portraits by the beach. And you're like, holy cow, there's no, there's no photographers who do, you know, beach setting. Of course there is, you know, just saying, but you know, maybe you have a unique way of approaching the beach setting, which is separates you from other photographers. But you know, all said and done, I think the man I wish is a huge value to your business. It helps you understand how you can position yourself and how you can approach your business through a value and satisfying that pain in the market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that is the opportunity that exists right now for everybody. All the creative folks who are thinking about maybe doing something online, this is the time to do it. You know, more people are online than ever before. It's still wide open. The online business is still something people kind of wonder what's happening. And so if you're thinking about it, this is the time to make your move and to fill in those, you know, man, I wish requests that's floating in the air.
Yeah, that'll be in my next book. All right. Well, we're getting close to the end of the podcast, and I usually like to ask if there's any words of wisdom or some rules that you live by.
Yeah. The biggest one is to keep going. I know this is, well, the toughest thing is to get started, and then the next step, I think, is to keep going. So as I see, you know, if you are that person, it's just been in the back of your mind, like, oh, I'd really like to start my own business. Or even now, because of what's going on in the world, and you're thinking, wow, I really need to get another level of security going for myself and my family. I've got skills, I've got ideas. You don't even have to have a specific skill at all. You have an interest. If you're one step ahead of other people, you've been doing research, you've been one of those people searching online for something, and you notice it's not there, that what you're looking for. But you've done some research, you think, well, I could probably start something here. If that's in your mind, so first of all, get started. And that's what it's about. It's getting started, you know, taking those first steps and then keep going. And this is a long process. This is one thing that when I first started, the gurus were all like, you know, you can make $1 million in 10 minutes doing nothing, And so, and there's a lot of that on the internet. Be careful. There's a lot. But the reality is I, one of these people likes to sort of reverse engineer what everybody's doing. And I dig as deep as I possibly can into the gurus' real life stories to try and find every interview on them, see what they're really saying. And the reality is it's a slog, you know, in the sense that they had to keep pushing and keep pushing, keep pushing. I heard that Russell Brunson say the other day, it took him 97 tries to get to ClickFunnels, you know, which is his big company now. And even like when I was talking earlier about advertising, and I say, every 2 days change the ad, and you might after a week go, it's not working. No, I'm going to be like, no, every 2 days you're going to change that ad until you get the click-through rate that you want. This is how it works. It is this continuous iteration after iteration after iteration, from your smallest ad to your entire business concept, you have to keep going through it. So that's why I start small, try, you know, reach out until something clicks over, and then you've got your business. But you can't, there's no point in giving up, because that, you know, the only difference between those who make it and those who don't is giving up. So you want to just keep going. If this is what you really want to do, if this is that idea in the back of your head that you've seen some gaps in the marketplace, you know there's an opportunity, but when you get started, just know that you're going to have to keep making these iterations until you really hit the one. And it could take a long time, you know, or, you know, it could take more than a week.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, get started. That's when a lot of people wait until everything is perfect and try to have the perfect letterhead and the best website. Mm-hmm. And before they even know, they've already inundated themselves with a bunch of other things. So the biggest thing is just getting started. It's like with writers, you know, just start writing, because all of a sudden, if you just say, I have an idea and I want to put it on paper, but if you don't start writing, then you're not going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I associate that with writing, because if you don't write, then the ideas aren't going to flow and you're not going to get that information. But definitely, you know, so, you know, guys out there, you know, look at the market, niche down, definitely do your market research, check out your competition, make sure you understand where you stand, how you're going to position yourself, do what you need to do. And definitely get out there and start working and grinding, because it's for the long run. You know, you can't just expect to get rich right away. You can't expect to start making money right away. Most businesses fail, I'm going to tell you right now. And the best way for you to do that is just, the best way for you to avoid that is to niche down and start doing your market research and understanding where you're going to go, how you're going to get there, and really what you want to do. So figure out that, what you want to do, who you are, what you want to do, and how you're going to get there. That's really what you want to do. How can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, everybody come over to readyentrepreneur.com. I got a lot of information over there. That's my website. I've got some free PDFs you can get. You can also sign up for the community, and I'll keep you up to date on everything. And my latest book is called Recast, and it's about getting started. So if you want to check that out, you'll also see that on the website. And I'm on Instagram at Ready Entrepreneur, and on Facebook at Ready Entrepreneur HQ. So you can just reach out to me on social as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, there you go, guys. Case Lane, please check out her website at readyentrepreneur.com. Also, check out her new book called Recast. And all of the information is going to be in the show notes, so you should be able to check that out as well. And I'm really excited to have had you on the show, Case. It was a pleasure having you. You're an inspiration to me and our listeners, and I'm so glad to have had you on the show today.
Thank you so much. It was great to be on today.
All right. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. Check out thecreativeentrepreneur.net. And until next week, keep on keeping on.
Thank you for listening to The Creative Entrepreneur. Please click the show notes for additional information. Want to know more? Click on the subscribe button and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by visiting us at tcepodcast.net.